Right, so welcome to Filling the Gap. It is the last Monday of the month of January. Can you believe it? Time flies. It only feels like yesterday that we welcomed 2025 into our lives. And we are literally at the end of the first month. That being said, it's always an exciting time for me right here on Filling the Gap on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, as this has been a partnership, a journey for, the past, I think, 6 years, where every last Monday of the month, we have a show called Kingdom Legislation with me, Dwayne van Rensburg, and none other than Reverend Paul Coupe. For those of you that don't know who Reverend Paul Coupe is, she's an ambassador for Christ, and she fights, she's a legal attorney, qualified as a lawyer, and she fights on the forefront of governments. She advises presidents in Africa, and she also fights the battle for our Christian rights if it comes to our South African legislative leg. Like, for example, the past few years we've been battling the Papuda law, the hate speech law, the Bella law, and then, of course, lately, comprehensive sex education. So the purpose of this program is to inform the Church of Christ. My people will perish due to lack of knowledge, and our job on Filling the Gap, Kingdom Legislation, is to inform the Church of the stuff that we need to take note of. Now, you believe me, there's definitely a couple of stuff that'll make your eyebrows go up. But with Reverend Paul Coupe on our side, we as a church can make informed decisions. Reverend Paul Coupe always taught me that the Church of Christ is the Ecclesia. Now, Ecclesia means that technically, we as the Church of Christ need to run government, and we need to hold the people that is in political chairs accountable to what their godly responsibilities are leading a nation. And that is something that Paul Coupe, alongside some of her colleagues, you'll hear names like Kevin Mishu quite a lot. You'll hear names like Michael Swain, Dear South Africa, 4SA. These are all the people on the various platforms that fights for the Church of Christ. One of the highly controversial stuff the past few years that we've been covering on the show is CSE. Comprehensive Sexual Education has been a quite discussed topic on our program. And there's a lot regarding CSE that the Church of Christ do not know about. And in this program, Reverend Paul Coupe is going to touch on a few of the very important aspects regarding the CSE. She's also going to point out 15 very harmful side effects of CSE. And she's also going to discuss a few things straight to the man regarding what happened and how South Africa's government has received money for stuff even before the consultation process took its natural course. So there's a few things that that is pointed out in this specific discussion between myself and Reverend Paul Coupe. But no, it's not without hope, and God will not lead us to something if he does not lead us through something. So at the end of this show, Reverend Paul Coupe gives us, as the church, as Christian schools, the alternative to comprehensive sex education. And she gives us the alternative to how we as the church and as Christian schools can educate our children in the way of the Lord. So if you've got someone that is not tuned in right now, and you believe that they've got to hear what CSE is all about, this is the time where you, as friend, as grandma, as grandpa, as mother, as father, whoever you may be, that you now reach out to people that you know that's got kids from grade R all the way to grade 12 that is going to go into our government schools this year and that will be facing these curriculums and these things that's being taught in comprehensive sex education. You want to call them right now and you want to tell them to tune in to the rest of this program. And you want to inform them that they should right now go to DSTV channel 882 or 657 AM. Alternatively, www.radiopulpit.co.za, or they can just download the app for this very important information. If you are listening to this program, perhaps at a later time slot, it means that someone has distributed the podcast to you, and I would like to invite you to once again share the Spotcast with the relevant people so that they can share this message so that the Church of Christ can be informed. My church will perish due to lack of knowledge. And what we are trying to do through this program is to give the Church of Christ knowledge so that they do not perish. All right, that's a lot said. We're going to take a break. And when we get back, we are going to listen to this interview between myself and Reverend Paul Coupe, where we will be discussing comprehensive sex education. It's an awesome privilege once again in 2025 to be joined by someone that I look up to. I call her Tani. I don't think she likes it very much, but it's okay.
No! Tani,
Reverend Paul Coupe. Hello, Rev.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dwayne. And let's start off by just wishing everybody a blessed new year, because we haven't been on the program yet this year, have we?
No, we haven't at all. But we can tell our listeners that for 2025, we will be tuning in together once again at the end of every month, the last Monday of every month. The two of us are ready to chat to you. Once again, Rev, blessings for 2025. I hope you've got a beautiful one.
I am really psyched. I'm, you know, revved. I'm excited, Dwayne, and I hope everybody else out there is excited. I just want to encourage everybody out there just to pace yourself, because we have a tendency to take on a whole lot, and by the end of the year, we're literally just crawling. So pace yourself. Make sure you take Sabbath, and really the Sabbath is about giving opportunity to be replenished. That's really what the Sabbath means, if I have to break it down in simple language. It's opening yourself up to an opportunity to be replenished. So when God talks about Sabbath, it means take time to rest, to worship, so that you can be replenished. So the Sabbath is about refreshing. It's about revival. It's about renewal. And we do that through studying the Word of God, through praying, through meditating, through worshiping, all of that, so that our bodies, our minds, and our spirit man are renewed. So take time to take your Sabbath out, you know, every now and then with your family, spend some family time together, and pace yourself throughout the year, so that you don't go, you know, throughout the year just kind of barely making it. So yeah, a blessed new year to everybody. And yes, let's get out there, body of Christ, let's be salt, let's be light, because this is what this program is all about, isn't it, Dwayne?
Yes, it is. And it's ironic because we got a mail this week from Radio Pulpit from our listeners that said, I've got a question for Reverend Paul Coupe the next time Dwayne and Paul is on air. So, Rev, would you like me to post that question and ask you the question? Are you ready for it?
Oh, my God. Well, I didn't really come ready to be cross-examined, you know. But, hey, let's go for it.
You're gonna like this one. The person in the mail said, Reverend, the light of the new president appointed by the American people, do you see positive stuff for South Africa with Donald Trump being in office, or what's your feelings about him in the Oval Office?
Well, I mean, I'm going to address myself to the question and not the general question of what's your feelings about him in the office. But concerning South Africa, I think South Africa, I think there may be reason for concern. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the foreign policy that South Africa has adopted is fundamentally different to the foreign policy that President Trump has. So that's the basis for my saying what I'm saying. South Africa has adopted a foreign policy which is pro-Palestine and anti-Israel. And from the way that I know that President Trump dealt before in terms of his relationships with Israel and how he moved the embassy, American embassy, to Jerusalem previously, if he is still adopting that same foreign policy, then there is a possibility that there may be some strained relations between South Africa and between America, for that very reason, because it's a very sensitive issue, that one. So that's where I'll leave it there. And I also want to say that, our ambassador, South African ambassador to United States, is also pro-Palestine. He's somebody who supports pro-Palestine. So it's all I can say is let's watch the space and see how it turns out and unfolds.
All right, Rev. Then, of course, we are spending time because this is called Kingdom Legislation, and we want to inform our people of what's happening. What's on your heart this week? Please go straight to the point. I'm listening.
Yeah, listen, Dwayne, I kind of, you know, I have this feeling that we're always talking about problems on this program. And I kind of feel like we've saturated people with this is the next problem that's coming up. Mm. This is the next legislative. And I kind of felt like I wanted to dedicate this program, particular one, to hope and bring solutions instead of just always bringing the next challenge, the next legislative challenge. Because when you fill people up with too many, you know, challenges and problems and stuff, they tend to lose hope. And that's not the focus of our program. We really want to present hope. And the way in which we're doing it is just by saying, be careful of these laws, which can take away our hope. So it's not like we want to present a pessimistic or a negative view that things are not lekker in South Africa. It's just that we're warning and cautioning and advising to say, let us protect our space. Let us protect our fundamental freedoms that the Constitution has given to us so that we do not regret. So it's not a negative program. It's not pessimistic. It's just looking forward to say, if we don't protect this hard-fought for freedom, then we may live to regret. So, but today I really wanted to focus on hope and give an alternative. And many of our listeners may remember a while ago, you know, when we were calling for submissions regarding the Bella Bill and some of the policies that relate to the Bella Bill, which include CSE, otherwise known as Comprehensive Sexuality Education. And we raised a number of concerns around CSE and what CSE was supposed to do. Now, I've spoken so many times about CSE, and I sometimes get a little bit emotional when I speak about it because I don't feel like the church represented herself in the way that she should have. When we were given an opportunity to present and give feedback on CSE, and I was one of the 100 leaders that were invited in 2020 in February to give feedback. Of the 100 leaders, only about 5 leaders, including myself, were vocal to actually make submissions against the implementation of comprehensive sexuality education. Only 5 out of 100. All the other leaders that were there actually embraced, they not only embraced comprehensive sexuality education, they put up their hands when they were asked by the Department of Education to become ambassadors for CSE. I saw them lift up their hands and volunteer to be ambassadors. And that was essentially because, one, they did not believe us. We who represented the body of Christ, who understood what CSE was about, who understood the legal issues, I was there with 2 of my colleagues from Freedom of Religion South Africa, Michael Swain and Daniela, who are legally trained and understood the implications of CSE. I was also there with Errol Naidu of Family Policy Institute. He also was vocal. Reverend Kenneth Mishra, who was also there, was also vocal. So that was about the 5 of us, the only 5 of us who stood up to protest CSE. Now, the result of it, because the church did not stand up and the leaders that were assigned and appointed to stand up did not do that, was, of course, we know, Dwayne, that CSE is being rolled out currently in the schools as we speak. And, Dwayne, the tragedy of it is that CSE, the season and the level they're at now, is that they want to roll out CSE at grade R level. And grade R, you know better than I do, is at what? They're 6-year-olds.
Yeah, 6-year-old.
So it's 6-year-olds who are going to be now having this program rolled out to them. So I really wanted to focus this session on what can the church, we as a church, and I'm even going to challenge you on this issue as well, Dwayne, because you have a Christian school. And there are things that we can do to combat, to try and fight the evil of what is being taught through CSE. And this program, I wanted to dedicate it to say, church, there is an answer, there is a solution, there is stuff that we can do. And I want to present the program that we have as an alternative And I really want the church to respond and come back to us so that we can start teaching you, how do you fight? How do you stop CSE? How do you stop your children from being brainwashed into sexual promiscuity and perversity? So it's in your best interest as a church, it's in your best interest as a parent to listen to this program very, very carefully. So in the first instance, I want to just start off by reminding us about the dangers of CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education. What are the dangers presented by it? Why do we not want it? I'm going to start off there, just like 10, 15 minute summary, and then I'm going to tell you what our program does and how you can get involved as a church, how you can bring us in to help you teach and train people at your church, teach and train people. If you have a Christian school, we're willing to partner with you to now help us overcome this very real danger, very real danger. Now, let me just say this also, Dwayne. You remember in Exodus, when you read the book of Exodus, there's a story, the account in Exodus 1 of the Hebrew midwives. Mm. And that account tells us, it says that Pharaoh was trying to kill, his instructions were to kill the male seed because he was being threatened by the Israelites and the fact that the Israelites were multiplying and they were growing and they were outnumbering the Egyptians. And so he was feeling threatened and intimidated, and his instructions were to issue a law and a decree to the Hebrew midwives to say, kill all the male sons, kill all the male children. Why did he focus on the male children, Dwayne? Because the male children carry the seed. If you have no seed, males, men are the ones who carry the seed. Where there's no seed, guess what? There's no next generation. Mm. That's how you kill off the generations, by attacking the male seeds. Because obviously, women cannot impregnate themselves. No. So you attack the seed. And that's exactly what he did. If I can kill every male child, then how are the women going to get pregnant? They can't. And eventually the Israelites will what? They'll die off. And that is exactly the same plan that the enemy wants to generate in this season. Targeting the generations. How do I kill off the generations? And CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education, is specifically a plan that is targeted at killing off the next generation. It is specifically, it wants to sexualize our children at an early age, encourage our children to get involved in sexual behavior that is dangerous, that is promiscuous, that can cause them to get terminal diseases like HIV, AIDS, all of those things. And that's the fastest way to kill off the next generation, by promoting dangerous lifestyle behavior that will kill them early, that will endanger their lives, that will bring terminal diseases, that will bring mental illnesses into their life, that will cause pregnancies, early pregnancies, cause barrenness in them, cause STDs in them. That's the fastest way to make sure that you deal with an issue that's going to stick with you generationally. Mm. And that's the reason why we have to take this issue with all the seriousness that it deserves, that it deserves. So Comprehensive Sexuality Education is that program. It's been implemented, it's been rolled out by Department of Basic Education in conjunction with some of the UN departments like UNESCO. So yes, agencies globally, it's been rolled out by agencies such as UNESCO, USAID, which is the division that deals with aid around the world. It's that department that they use to give out aid, USAID. Also involved is Planned Parenthood. Now, Dwayne, do you remember that big fight we had with Planned Parenthood?
Yeah, I remember. As good as yesterday, I remember that, yes.
And you remember the movie that we were promoting and getting everybody to go and see the movie?
I remember. That
showed in terms of what really happens when people have abortions, that, you know, this Planned Parenthood is a devised plan to make sure that, you know, people abort, and it's making billions and billions of U.S. dollars per year because people use the aborted fetuses of aborted children for cosmetics, for all sorts of things. And people are making billions of it. So Planned Parenthood is that organization that encourages abortions because they're making billions of US dollars. So it's in their best interest to promote promiscuity, sexual promiscuity, so that people will get pregnant. And from those pregnancies, abortions then are what they make their bread and butter from. So Planned Parenthood is one of those organizations, along with UNESCO and USAID, that really is promoting the rollout of comprehensive sexuality education. And it is being rolled out under UNESCO has a program known as ITGSE. ITGSE, it's an acronym that stands for what? It stands for International Technical Guidance on Sexuality Education. That is their program under which CSE, or Comprehensive Sexuality Education, falls underneath. And USAID donated $25 million to the Department of Basic Education for the development of this CSE under the International Technical Guidance on Sexuality Education program. That is the equivalent, Duane, of about 500 million rand in our money, in rands. 25 million US dollars is almost 500 million rands. Mm. So now, Duane, do we understand why the department was never willing to listen to us on our feedback regarding CSE? So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason why. The Department of Basic Education, and this is fact, this is not conjecture, and it is not conspiracy, because people like to accuse us of being conspirators and conspiracy. No, this was admitted to by a representative of the Department of Basic Education. In fact, the Minister of Education at the time admitted in Parliament, in response to a question posed to them by the DA, they admitted to having received 25 million US dollars. So it's not conjecture, it's not guesswork, it is not conspiracy. It is admission made. It is a fact that they received $25 million. And they received this amount, Duane, I must say, before they even asked for the church's feedback. By the time they asked for stakeholder feedback, the department had already received this money. So now the question I want to ask, Duane, if you have already received money to roll out a program, and then you later go and consult with stakeholders, what is the purpose of that consultation, Duane?
I think just to say that you've done what you're supposed to, but actually you haven't, because you've already taken money, you've already received
exactly.
It, you've already agreed.
Exactly. You never had any intention of consulting. You never had any intention of listening to their feedback. Because you've contracted. Now, as a lawyer, I will speak and say that once an offer is made and you receive that offer, you agree to it, and it can be agreed verbally or it can be agreed to written. A verbal agreed contract is still a contract. But by accepting that offer, and the DBE, by accepting the offer and receiving the payment, they accepted the offer. So in other words, all the consultations that they had after that accepting that money were useless. They were useless. They were just trying to placate us. They were just trying to shut us up so that we will think that, no, we've really been consulted. But ultimately, we weren't consulted because they'd already accepted the offer. So it was a sham. It was a sham of a consultation. It was a pretense. It was hypocrisy. They never actually intended to, and their consultation was just to tick the box. Meanwhile, they knew all along that they were going to roll out this program regardless of what anybody said. So shame on you for that. Shame on you, Department of Basic Education, for that. So this has been rolled out. It's being rolled out now for some time. Lessons plans have been rolled out for grades 4 to 12. And these lesson plans had scripted lesson plans. They used certain textbooks which had diagrams, which had pictures showing children how to have sex, showing the children how to put on condoms, all of those things. And this is what they told us, the tricks and the lies they told us in rolling it out. They said, no, it's to prevent pregnancy, it's to prevent people from getting pregnant. Let me tell you, Dwayne, statistics now are showing that, one, the pregnancies have not gone down. HIV/AIDS statistics have not gone down. In fact, in many instances, they've gone up. So what they said was a lie, was a lie. So what they didn't tell us about the program is that it includes telling and teaching children how to have anal sex. What they did not tell them, and we told them, we told the group that was representing the church, they didn't tell them that it includes lesson plans on how to change your identity, gender identity. They didn't tell them that it includes lessons on how to use contraception, such as condom, with live presentations. They didn't tell them that the condoms would even be distributed in class. All of these things are what CSE are doing. They didn't tell them how CSE would teach that the traditional moral practices that are practiced by the church, that they would teach them that these are discriminatory practices. So in other words, they're literally teaching them against their faith. So what you and I as Christians teach our children at home, they are unteaching them in class, because they cannot get them to accept contraception and other areas of sexuality, early sexualization. They can't get them to accept those beliefs unless they trash Christian beliefs. So they are trashing the Christian faith in their teaching, and they're teaching them that we are discriminatory. That's the only way they can get them to believe what they're teaching them. So that, again, is against our fundamental right, constitutional fundamental right of religious freedom. To go and trash our religion in class to get people to accept a perverse practice is also against our religious freedom. And what they also didn't say is that it also, glamorizes and allows for abortion. It doesn't teach against abortion. And of course, our laws in South Africa allow children to get abortions at a very early age. From the age of 12, a child can abort without getting permission from their parent. So, like I said, Dwayne, I wanted to leave us on a positive note. Just very quickly, these are the identified harmful effects of CSE, and then I'm going to go into the positive note. And these are the 15 harmful effects identified by Family Watch International. Family Watch International. These are the harmful effects. One, they say it sexualizes children by normalizing and glamorizing child sex. Number two, it teaches children how to consent to sex. And this is very dangerous, Dwayne, because even in some of the schools, we find that there are teachers who are hitting on children. You know, some of them are actually participating in pedophilia. Pedophilia is a sexual practice involved with children. So now we have to teach our children how to protect themselves from adults. How are we going to do that when CSE is teaching children to consent to sex and say that sex is fine? So even pedophilia that happens out there is going to be acceptable, because children are being taught that sex outside of marriage is fine and you must enjoy sex through masturbation and all of that. So it's even opening a door to pedophilia. It also, another harmful effect is it normalizes high-risk sex. And high-risk sex is sex that is defined as opening you up more to certain types of diseases. So high-risk sex includes anal sex, and it includes oral sex. And CSE teaches all of those things, and it says they're fine, it's good, indulge in it. So they're opening children up to high-risk sexual behavior, including promotion of homosexual and bisexual behavior. It also teaches children that you are entitled, that sex is your right, which is diametrically opposed to the teachings of the Christian faith, which teaches that sex is something to be enjoyed in marriage. But CSE teaches that sex is your right and you are entitled to enjoy sex. And it does that by promoting what? solo and mutual masturbation. That is part of the CSE teaching. It also eroticizes condom use. So the way in which it presents condom use, it presents it in a very erotic and sexualized kind of presentation. It also promotes early sexual independence. Now, if you as a parent, and one of the outcomes of this, Duane, is that you as a parent who are teaching your child to enjoy sex only within marriage and within a certain framework, you now become your child's public enemy number one. Because they are literally brainwashing your child to believe that sex is something very enjoyable. You have a right to enjoy it outside of the parameters of marriage. And so when you as a parent come and try to teach your children how sex is to be properly enjoyed, your child sees you as public enemy number one. It causes a strain in the family because your child is now believing that mom and dad don't want me to enjoy life because my teacher taught me that sex is pleasurable and I have a right to have it. But my mom and dad are telling me that I can only have it in these circumstances. You become the enemy. So it promotes family strife and division, and it separates and divides the family and the family's beliefs and value system. It also, as a program, does not present and properly promote abstinence as an option, which should be the first alternative and the first option. It teaches abortion. It promotes gender confusion. Duane, do you know, as we speak now, do you know the number of legal cases in the United Kingdom that are against the health facilities in the United Kingdom because they started encouraging children to believe that they were members of the opposite sex? And by doing that, they started giving them puberty blockers. And puberty blockers have proven to be so harmful to you mentally, physically, in all sorts of ways. And now people who realize that they did not want to change their gender and they cannot undo the harmful effects of puberty blockers and all those are now suing NHI, which is the National Health System of the United Kingdom. They're having hundreds and hundreds of cases. And guess what? South Africa is going to be, in a few years' time, we're going to be exactly the same because we like to copy what other nations do without interrogating the truth for ourselves. So we are inheriting other systems. That system, United Kingdom and other places in the West which started that system, are abandoning the system now because they're seeing how harmful it is. And we in Africa are picking up the toxic structures that they are now abandoning. We are receiving them wholeheartedly. That doesn't make sense. And it's a part of a problem of being colonized, where your former colonizers do something and you automatically think this is the way to go, and it's not the way to go. So that is very, very harmful. It violates, it undermines traditional faith values, like I said, violates parental rights and causes family issues, and it teaches children to resort to harmful practices. Those are the 15 practices. So this is what I'm saying, Duane, and I want to leave us in the next 10 minutes just to leave us with this thought. As the church and the civil society, we have to respond. We must participate and make sure that CSE does not achieve the harmful effects it wants to achieve on our children. We must educate. The church has a responsibility to educate our children on these practices and to teach an alternative. And the Christian schools also have that responsibility. We must resist, we must mobilize, and we must also present alternative programs. And this is the alternative program that I want to present to us. And I want to encourage every church, every Christian school, please, we are here. There's a way in which we present the program. Every church we have presented them to, they have loved the program. They have testified how helpful this program was and how it's changed the dynamics of their family. So God has a plan. We have a three-day teaching program where we help teach schools. We help teach churches. We train them on a program, and this program helps. It's a comprehensive program. It's called FSE, Family Sexuality Education. So it not only teaches HIV/AIDS prevention, but in a way that will not endanger your children's lives by promoting sex, in a way that does not go against your traditional Christian values. So we will teach them how to prevent HIV/AIDS in a proper way, in a biblical way, in a kingdom way. It also teaches them on self-respect, how to have respect for themselves and how to have respect for others. It also teaches them on teaching pregnancy prevention. So they said that the idea was to teach pregnancy prevention. They use condoms and other methods. We use the method of self-control. We teach children about their identity. We teach them about self-control. We teach them how to say no and how to have the courage to say no. And in the process, we also teach them on drug and alcohol prevention. We give them skills and educate them on how to protect themselves so that they can protect themselves also from child abuse, potential child abusers, from some, you know, teachers who may be offenders, who may be child sex offenders. We teach them on how to protect themselves, give them skills on how to protect themselves. We teach them on helpfulness and respect and how to prevent hooliganism and how to prevent bullying, being bullied, and also teach them also how not to be a bully. So we teach all of those things. We teach about pornography risks and addictions and all of those things. So this is a very, very powerful program, Duane, that I do want to put out there and say to the teachers and say to the churches out there, do not despair. I don't want to leave you on a low note. I don't want to leave you in despair, but that there is hope. Christ is the hope of glory. He has given us a program. We teach it physically. We can come and teach it over a workshop. So you can arrange for us to come and teach. If you bring a group of people together, we can teach it there for over 3 days. It's a 3-day course. We do charge a small fee for it because we had to pay for the course to be actually drafted. It was made up. It's a module that was made up, you know, including Christian psychologists, Christian educationists, and it comes from the United States. We partnered as an initiative. It comes all the way from the United States. So we collaborated with educationists. So because we had to pay an amount, we do charge a small fee, but it is very small compared to what you get, compared to what you get. So we can teach it physically over a 2 to 3 day workshop physically, and we can also teach it online. If you are not in Gauteng or you are even in another country, we are available to teach it online. So I do want to encourage you to please get in touch with us. Get in touch with us. Get in touch with me and inbox me. Inbox me my Facebook page. So reach out to me on my Facebook page. Check for a blue star because that's my real Facebook page. Look for Pearl Komotso Kupe. Pearl Komotso, K-G-O-M-O-T-S-O Kupe. Look for my Facebook page, Pearl Komotso Kupe, and you can inbox me there. Look for the verification blue mark. Inbox me, and I will give you all the information that you need if you are interested in our family sexuality education program. So you can even do it as a cell group, as a church, cell group church, to say, we want to do this program. And you can get, you know, we normally don't teach less than 20 people. Get a group of about 20 parents, 20 people together, and we'll come and teach and train and equip you on how to tackle this very difficult subject of teaching and training your child on sexuality the biblical way, the kingdom way, so that we all win and the next generation can be preserved and we don't have to see our children falling wayward and becoming a generation of sexually immoral, perverse, promiscuous children who will just live miserable lives going forward. So that's my story for this week, Duane. And I really hope that we're going to share this session far and wide, because as I believe as a nation and as Africa, we need to focus on solutions more. Let's stop focusing on grumbling, complaints, criticisms, etc. We can cry, we can complain, we can criticize, but it's not going to get us anywhere. It's the solutions that are going to take us somewhere. So that's why I've attempted to provide an alternative solution to the CSE, Comprehensive Sexuality Education Program, that's been rolled out. So I really, really hope, my hope and prayer is that this audio will go far and wide and that the church will respond by getting on board with this program, and we will fight this CSE and make sure that our children are protected and will not become victims of this very, very dangerous early sexualization program that is targeted and geared at taking out our children and destroying their future. Yeah.
Right. So, yes, of course, this will be released on Radio Pulpit's website. You can go to the website, go to the program called Filling the Gap, and you'll see the podcast there. I'll also distribute this to Rev so she can post this on her social media pages. For those of you that didn't know, you can also reach out to Rev, Rev Pulkapai. Maybe perhaps you've got a conference or something happening at your institution and you would like Rev to be a part of it. Please reach out to her. Rev, that being said, what's on your calendar? What's something that we can look forward to in 2025?
We've got a lot going on in the calendar. We just had one something on Saturday, but on February the 2nd, I'm going to be ministering at CLC, which is in Rue de Port, Pastor Van Rensburg, Pastor Patrick Van Rensburg is the pastor there. So if you're in Rue de Port, join us Sunday afternoon. That's February the 2nd, right? February the 2nd. Yes, that's CLC Sunday at 5 o'clock. I'm going to be talking about overcoming deception. So you really don't want to miss that because we're living in very deceptive times. So how do we as believers, how do we make sure that we're not tricked, we're not deceived? What are some of the things we need to look out for? What are some of the tools that we can use, biblically given tools that we can use to make sure that we're not deceived in this season? So that's Sunday, February the 2nd. And then I'm going to be out in Durban for a lot of February, but and in Cape Town, Saturday, 1 March. If you are in Cape Town, join us on the 1st of March on Saturday. We're going to be in Cape Town launching our Global Forum of Women Entrepreneurs program. So if you're a woman and you're in entrepreneurship, do join us. Come to my Facebook page. You'll see all the flyers there. And then, I'm going to be going to Zimbabwe after that. Sunday, March 9th, I'm going to be in Benoni, with Pastor Patrick and Anne Marie Van Rensburg again. The theme is Revive Us on Revival. Another very exciting meeting, March 15, ladies, the Significance Conference, Women of Significance, hosted by Dr. Bev Volmarens. Yes, that's, of course, CFC Church. I know a lot of ladies always look forward to her annual program. I'm sure you're all familiar with Dr. Theo Volmarens and Dr. Bev Volmarens. So Dr. Bev's going to be hosting us on the 15th of March at the CFC Johannesburg Church. So, yeah, I think I've given you a lot to look forward to there.
Reverend, then, of course, one of our proud sponsors of this program is none other than TBN Africa. And if I'm not mistaken, you are actively involved with TBN. Is there something we can tell our listeners about? Where should they go to see you on TV?
Yes, you've got to watch Ambassador of Change. And that Ambassador of Change program is on every Sunday at 1 o'clock on TBN Africa, channel 343. And it's also on repeat on Wednesday morning at 9:30 in the morning and 7:30 p.m. in the evening. You don't want to miss this program because every week I have a very fascinating guest on board. And these are people who are showing positive change in the marketplace. As believers, we are supposed to be salt and light, and we're supposed to not just be clapping hands on Sundays, but professionally, in our professions, we're supposed to be pioneers and trailblazers and leading change. So every week you get a chance to see an individual who's doing that. I've had my own medical doctor, Dr. Vian Stander, who's doing amazing things in wellness, in the area of wellness, using biblical principles of wellness. And, you know, through him, Dr. Vian Stander, I myself, this past year, I lost 25 kilos, Dwayne, you know, because he just figured out there was something wrong in my body. And without using medication, he just told me, this is what happened. This is why your metabolism shut down and you put on so much weight. So through Dr. Vian, I ended up losing 25 kilos in 7 months' time. And my body went back to its normal body. So we've got amazing people like Dr. Vian. I've got people like Yaro Fochel, a colleague in law. He's one of my colleagues in law. We're doing cutting edge stuff in the legal area. We're now providing for digital solutions, Dwayne. And one of these days, I think we're going to have to do a program on law and digital solutions. So let's do that for the next program. Let's talk about digital solutions using the field of law, the arm of law. Amen.
Right, that's it, Rev. Now you got to run. Once again, thank you very much. This is the first one for 2025. I'm really looking forward to the rest of it. But once again, thank you for your willingness, Rev, and may the blessings of God just go ahead of you, and may you just grow stronger and stronger in whatever you do. We love you a lot.
Love you lots, and thanks, and take care of yourselves, guys. I'm praying for your protection and your provision in this year, and may you and your households, may God just bless you and increase you and enlarge your territory and assign ministering angels over you, and may you see growth, prosperity, increase in every area of your life. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. God richly bless you.
And don't forget your famous word you usually say, Kenako.